Today's daf is daf kuf nun dal. So let's take it to the very top line. The Gemara says that Rav Zvid Masni Hachi, we were talking about yesterday various approaches, whether Mechamer's Chayv Chatas and Mechamer's Chayv Skila. So Rav Zvid weighs in. Rav Zvid Masni Hachi, he learns as follows in Amar Rami Barchama, Ha Mechamer Acher Behema Bisham. It's a person who does violate Mechamer, which again is when you cause your animal to move and carrying things on Shabbos by making gestures, by making sounds to it, that's mechamer. So one who does this on Shabbos, if it's done b'shogeg, the din is eino chayv chatas, b'mezid chayv skil. So the Gemara comes along and asks this question, meisiv rava, ha-mechala, Mishra says, maseches and hedjin, mechala, so Shabbos b'davar shechayavim, ashkagas chatas, chayav mazadon chat skila. So we have this equation that whenever a melacha is done b'shogeg, it's chayv chatas. If it's done b'mezid, it's chayv skila. So we could infer from that, ha, ein chayav malshkagaso chatas, ein chayavim azadon skila. So if it's something that would not have a chatas, it can't have a skila. So how could you say that mechamer doesn't have a chatas, but it does lead to a skila? That seems to break up this equation that's found in the Mishnah Maseches Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, mikatani, doesn't say in the Mishnah, mikatani, ha, ein chayavim, doesn't say ha, doesn't make that diuk like the Gemara had mentioned. Hachi kamar, what it does say in the Mishnah is, davar, shechayavim al shkagas or chatas, chayavim al zedono skila. Anything that's chayav chatas when shogeg certainly is chayav skila when done b'mezid. However, v'yesh davar she'ein chayavim al shkagas or chatas, v'chayavim al zedono skila. But there can be something that doesn't have a chatas that can lead to a skila. In other words, the Mishnah says every case of a chatas does lead to a skila. But you can have instances where there's no chatas and there can still be a skila. What is that example? My nihu, it's mechamer. So the Gemara rejects Rav Zvid based on his diuk in the Mishnah. The Gemara now quotes Rav, Achua de Rav, Meri Bar Rachel. So the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rava, who is the brother of Rav Meri Bar Rachel. And others say, Amrila, Avua de Rav Meri Bar Rachel. Others say that Rava was the father of Rav Meri Bar Rachel. Meaning it says, Rava is Avua de Rav Meri Bar Rachel. Now before saying what he actually says, the Gemara just interjects for a second about a problem with the second statement here, that it's Rava is the Avua, is the father of Rav Meri Bar Rachel. Why is that a problem? So the Gemara says, Lilishna Brasra. The second Amrila, the second opinion of who's speaking, who's about to speak, the problem is, Kasha had the Rav Achshrei, the Rav Meri Bar Rachel. It's a question according to Rav, because the Gemara doesn't say all this, but Tosos, he elaborates. There's a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Mem Hei Rebeis, as Tosos quotes, that Rav permitted Rav Meri to become shoter, Mani Opursa Bebavel. He's appointed a position of authority in Bavel. And the din is that although he may have been Jewish, we would not appoint a person to be a position of authority unless both parents are Jewish. Apparently, the fact that we called Rav Meri Bar Rachel, the son of Rachel, why not the son of his father's name? How come it was the Meri Bar Rachel, implies that only his mother was Jewish, his father wasn't Jewish. So he wouldn't be fit to be appointed as a shoter. So the Gemara says, so there, however, Rav appointed Meri Bar Rachel as a certain position of authority in the Gemara Yevamos, and even though his father was a Nachri, so the Gemara says, even though his father's a Nachri, he still allowed him to be a position of authority, even though that might not be according to everyone, but here Rav permitted. But that Gemara says that his father wasn't a Jew. But here, the Gemara says his father was a Jew. If we're saying this Amri La, that Rava was the Avua of Rav Meri Bar Rachel, so that goes against Rav, who thought his father was a Nachri in the Gemara in Yevamo. So there seems to be a steer of whether his father was Jewish or not Jewish. And the Gemara says, Dilma, perhaps, Trey Meri Bar Rachel. Maybe there are two Meri Bar Rachels. One was the Gemara in Yevamos, where his father wasn't a Jew, and yet still Rav appointed him to be a position of authority. And here the Gemara says his father was Jewish. His father, in fact, was Rav. So that's just a parenthetical, historical point of who Rami Bar Rachel was, and perhaps there were two of them. Back to the story, though. The Gemara says, so either Rav or the Chua or the Avua of Meri Bar Rachel said as follows. So he learned the sugya mishmei the Rabbi Yochanan. He was quoting Rabbi Yochanan. And liftur, he thought the din here of mechamer b'shabbos is pater. And one who violates it, although it's usser, it would not result in any type of punishment. And furthermore, amar Rabbi Yochanan, ha-mechamer achar behemta b'shabbos is pater miklum. He's pater, whether done b'shogeg, whether done b'mezid. B'shogeg lo mechayv chatas, Why are you potter if one violates mechamer b'shogeg? Because we have a klal we mentioned yesterday. The hukshu kol haTorah kula l'avodah zarah. That avodah zarah says Torah achas. That avodah zarah serves as a model for all, for the entire Torah. And just like the avodah, just like avodah zarah, the person is chayv v'chatas only when you do a ma'isa begufa, some type of act on your own to avodah zarah, as opposed to mechamer, which is to some other creature. So this would be potter by shogeg, using avodah zarah as the model. And similarly, mezid nami l'mechayv, you're not chayv b'mezid either. It's not based on the mission in Maseches Sanhedrin, which we keep quoting, which says Hamachalas Hashabbos B'davar Shachayavim Al Shkigaso Chadas Al Zedon Chadas Skila. Rather, that the only time you're chayv skila is when you do it b'shogeg, you're chayv chadas. So then, when b'mezid, you're chayv skila. But ha, if it's something that ain't chayavim al shkigaso chadas, when you violate b'shogeg, you're not chayv chadas, because we just proved that mechamer is pater from a chatas b'shogeg based on the avodah zarah. So then, by definition, ein chayavim al zedona skila. Then one would not be chayav skila either when violating mechamer b'mezid. So the Gemara then says, so now after establishing that Rabbi Yochanan says that you're not chayav, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, there's no chatas nor is there skila, the Gemara takes it one step further now. It says, belav nami lo mechayav. There's not even a lav, there's not even malchus either. We said we got rid of a chatas, we got rid of a of misa. Now we're getting rid of a lav. Why is there no lav here? Because the havilei lav shenitein la'azharas misas bezdin, the chalav shenitein la'azharas misas bezdin ein lokin alav. So this is a klal that whenever a certain avera is subject to a misas bezdin, so it cannot be subject to malchus either. That's the klal. So when it comes to, let's say, a typical chil Shabbos of Zareya, Choresh, whatever that might be, that's a misas bezdin. And so there can be malchus on a misas bezin. So now the question is, mechamer is not a misas bezin. There's no misa by mechamer. So why are we applying that this is a azhara misas bezin? So if you look at the last Rashi in the page, Rashi says, lazharas misas bezin, dishar malachos, dishabas nami mehai kronafkalu azhara. Right? We had the same source we mentioned yesterday. What's the source of mechamer? So the Gemara quoted a pasuk of losas em malacha. Right? Ata ubehemtecha, the pasuk said. So it's the same source of all malacha is acting as a source of mechamer as well. So we have to lump them together. Now, even though conceptually they're different, even though not all of them lead to a chadas and a misa, but still lumped together as the lav, as it's formulated in the Torah. So Rashi says, again, the shar malachos, the shabbos, nami mehaikra nafkalei lahazara. So this is the azhara for all malachas and including mechamer as well. Hilkach, therefore, lahazharas misas bezdin nitan. Because we know there's a klal, the only time you could give a punishment in the Torah is you have to have two psukim. One is the lo sase, don't do it. And there's another one, there's a punishment. So there's an azhara and there's an onish in the Torah. Every aver has an azhara pasuk and an onish pasuk. So this is the azhara pasuk for all malachos, and it's also the azhara for mechamer. But once it's the azhara for all the malachos, which is considered a all misas bezdin, that groups together the entire azhara now, even the mechamer, is called and qualified as a misas bezdin. And after establishing that, Hilchach says, Rashi, Iker azharasa l'makom sheyesh bo misa. The Iker, the primary place of this azhara, is for the 39 malachos, which is nitan, the azhara's bezdin. And therefore, even for mechamer, the din would be lo l'malchos. And that's what the Gemara concludes. So again, for mechamer and Shabbos, there's an issa, there's a lav. But the punishment, there's no punishment b'shogeg of achatas. There's no punishment of misa, nor is there a punishment of malchus. So Gemara then says on the top of Amud Beis now, that the afilu man damar lokin. And even according to the opinion who holds in general, that a lav and itan la'azar's misa's bezdin can have malchus. That's a machlokus in the Gemara Malchus. So even if you want to contend that normally you would give malchus for such a concept of that which is nitan lazar's bezin, when it comes to the iser of mechamer, that would not be the case. This would be an exception that all opinions would agree there are no malchus for mechamer. Why not? Because the Gemara says, because lichtov rachmana lo sase komlacha uvehemtecha. The pasuk could have said, don't do any work, and your animal as well. Why does it say ata lamali? Why does it say lo sase chomlacha ata vendecha? We know we're talking about you. We're reading the Torah, speaking to us. We don't need to say ata. So ata is superfluous. So why is saying ata? What's the need? So the Gemara is medayik, hu nia de mechayev behemto lo mechayev. You, only ata, only you are chayev if something happens on other malachas. But the animal itself will not be chayev. And therefore we see from here that the animal would be exempt from any iser, and there would not be any malchus as well. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, behemto, four lines down from the top, Behemto b'melecha shen hanases aide behemto, a melecha that is done by one's animal. Lo mechayv lav gamur lilakas alav. That it's not considered real lav when the animal does it, because the animal doesn't do anything wrong. It's a certain responsibility that the owner has, but that's not called a lav gamur. Rashi says lav gamur. It's not a real lav. The Ramban says no, it is considered a real lav. But the reason why there is no malchus is because it's considered a melacha of acherim, of someone else doing it, not if I am doing it. Someone else did it. My animal did it, not me. Meaning what comes out from here, this seems to be an interesting machlokus. Whenever you have an animal involved in a certain avera, you could always raise the question, is the animal doing an avera? Now, animals don't do averas, but there might be some level of an avera. What does that mean? So the Gemara talks about a situation of if an adam is roveya behema. So the behema becomes he's the nirva, and the person gets a chiyamisa for doing so. So the Gemara says, now the person gets a punishment, Adam gets punishment for being Roveya Behema. The Behema also gets killed. The Gemara says, what did the Behema do wrong? The Behema is an animal. It doesn't have any choice in the matter. It doesn't have any thoughts. So there seems to be different indications that the Behema has some level of an Avera it's doing, or no, it just it happens to be the Chefta, the object of the particular Avera. Someone showed the Gemara says, K'misas ha-baal kach misas ha-behema. Like, for sure, a muad, for example, for an animal that gores three times, you have to have all the dinim of a bezdin. When you're busy judging the shor to kill the shor, you're judging the shor as if it's the animal, as if the owner of itself, the baal of Avera. So we have many instances where you could really prove a point that the behemoths somehow are involved in Averos. So I believe what's going on here is the Rashi says there's not a law of gummer here. The animal did it. Animals don't do Averos, so you can't consider that a real Avera. But according to the Ramban, it says, no, the animal did an Avera. And that's why I'm pater, because it's considered melechas acherim, where someone else did the avera, not the actual owner. Either way, we can conclude from this that even if you normally hold that hazaras mises bezdin, that which is normally nitan lazaras bezdin can get malchus, even though normally gets a punishment of misa, in this instance of a mechamer, even though it's nitan lazaras bezdin, there would not be malchus, because the pasuk says ata as a extra limud. So where that says three lines down, Higil Chatzer Achitona. So we had the situation where a person Misha Hichshich in the beginning of the parak here, that person was coming home and the sun was beginning to set, Shabbos was setting in. So he had a number of options what he could do with his stuff. He'd give it to a Nachi, put it on top of the back of the animal. So one of the options the Misha had said is if you put it on the back of the animal, when you get into the outer Chatzer, you could take off the Kalim and that are not Muksa and just place them down. And that which are muksa, you could unravel the ropes and let them just kind of fall down onto the ground. So Gemara then says, Amar Rav Huna, Haisa behemto tehuna kli zechuchus. So let's say your animal's carrying some glass. Now if you let the glass just fall on the floor, it's going to break. So then what you should do is maybe karm v'ksasos meniach tachta. You should place some pillows and blankets on the beneath the animal. Umatir hachavalam, undo the ropes. And v'hasakin noflin, and let the bag of glass fall onto the pillow, and the pillow is going to break the fall, and then this way you don't break your glass. So the Gemara says, how is that allowed? V'hatnan tanan, don't we have a mission that says, no tel esa kelim hanitalam b'shabbos? They're allowed to take that which is allowed to be moved on Shabbos. So kli zechuch is glass, it's not muksa. I use glass for drinking from whatever the type of glass is. Why is glass muksa? You have to let it just release it. So the Gemara says, no, kikama Rav Huna. Rav Huna says the need to place blankets so it doesn't break. Why can't you move the actual zechuchis? Because karne du'umna. What's karne du'umna? Which is de lo chazilei, which you can't use. So Rashi explains that du'umne, five narrow lines down, makizdam. It was the doctors, whatever you call them, the makizdam, the blood letters, the instruments they would use. They'd use glass as a needle to pierce open the skin. She'ein ruin b'shabbos lichlom l'klum, rather l'fi she'em usam. They're disgusting. They're dirty. There's blood all over them. You use it for different patients. I hope they wash in between. I'm sure they did. So they're disgusting. It's usam. It's kli machmas. It's a muksa machmas mius, and therefore they're muksa. That's what we're talking about. According to others, the Ramban says no. The reason why they're muksa is because they're kli melachto l'iser. Because since the primary purpose of these pieces of glass were meant for needles, then you can't do needles on Shabbos, you can't draw blood on Shabbos, it's kli machma, it's a muksa machmas iser. And yet others say, no, it's a muksa machmas chesron kis, because they're very fragile, and glass could break, they're the instruments, so if someone misuses it, it could break it, and it's ruined. So the three different reasons why the umne of the makizdam, the karni de umne, are muksa, it's either, again, muksa machmas mius, muksa machmas iser, or muksa machmas chesron kis, but everyone agrees it's muksa, and therefore that's a situation whereby you would need to place pillows or blankets beneath so that they shouldn't break, to break its fall. So the Gemara then says, V'ha kamivata kli mechana. But we have another klal that we said on Shabbos, we saw several times, you can't put a kelim on in a position whereby you're mevatel the usage of it. So if the kli zechuchis falls now onto the pillow, now you can't move the pillow anymore because there's something mukhs on top of it. And now you're mevatel the kli, you're mevatel the pillows, and you can't do that on Shabbos. It's asr to do so. And what's the reason it's asr to do so? So there are different reasons why, but according to at least Rashi here, Rashi says, v'hav mevatel kli, karim v'kisisos, sheminichan etachas davar, you place below some item, shein nitel mevatlan mehechanan. Now it's mevatel from being able to use the pillow on the rest of Shabbos. You can't take the pills out anymore. It's like destroying something on Shabbos, destroying kelim on Shabbos, which Rashi felt would be asur. Others think different reasons, but that's at least for Rashi. Now it's machmas chesom kista. So Gemara answers what the heter is. Rashi says here b'shlife zutre. What's shlife zutre? So Rashi explains here, b'shlifei zutre mishmasos ketan, small packages, sheshomet hakar metachteyam v'noflin al kar sheni v'chein adshim v'gin l'art. What you could do is, these pillows are not abasis, because they're not abasis because they were not there, the muksa items are not there on the onset of Shabbos. Abasis is only created when the muksa item was there, v'yashmashos. These came on Shabbos. So now what happens is, you have a pillow, you move one pillow, so it goes a little bit closer to the ground. Move another pillow. There are a few layers of pillows. As you pull out each one, it slowly goes through a lower one until it finally gets to the ground without breaking, and then the pillows are able to be used, and that's how you avoid kli, mevata kli, mechano. Gemara asks a question, meisivei, ha'isa behemto tuna tevel vashashio. So let's say a behemoth is carrying tevel, which is an untied fruit or whatever the grains are, or glass. The din is matir es achavalim, Vasakin nofin, you could undo the ropes, the packages, let them just fall to the ground. Viafa pi shemishabrim, even though they're going to break. So we see from here, what do you mean? So shouldn't you place pillows to avoid the breaking? So the fact that we don't allow you to place pillows must be that you can't place pillows below the glass. You have to let them just drop and they're going to break. You're going to lose out on your glass. Mara says, no. This brisa, the reason why you don't need to place pillows underneath it is because hasam bekulsa. What's kulsa? So Rashi explains kulsa is chatichas rechavos shezuchuchis shenim kalim, big sheets of glass. They're not kalim. They're just flat sheets of glass. The yosin mehen mechalonos, you apparently use them to make windows, to fill in the holes in the house, windows. V'cheven deleka pseida b'shvirasan v'sofen lichatich v'chatichas ketanos lo sharu lavi karm laniach tachtem. Apparently they're big sheets of glass. And the windows were not that big, so they'd have to size them anyways, make them much smaller to use for the holes in their house. So they have to break them in the end of the day anyways. So they break them now as opposed to later on. So the fact that they break on Shabbos is not that big of a deal. So therefore, that's why in this situation, you should not place the karmakissos below. So the Gemara says, Dekanami, Dekatani, I'll give you a raya, because the very fact that the Mishnah, the Brisier, compares and lumps together Ashashios glass with Tevel, Dumya the Tevel, Ma tevel de lo chazile, just like tevel is not fit for any use, it's muksa, so ah, we're talking about hachanami lo chazile. We're talking about an item that's not fit either, which means it's not a keli. No kelim, just flat sheets of glass, and that's the situation. So Gemara says, umay afa pi shemishabim. So what do we learn from the fact that even though it breaks, if it's talking about glass that we want to break, so who cares if it breaks? What's it saying? Even though it breaks, implying that there's some type of hefset here. But we just established that when the glass breaks, there is no hefsed, because you want them to break. So what do you mean, even though they're going to break? It sounds like even though there's going to be a hefsed, you shouldn't place the pillows below. So Gemara says, you're right, there is a little bit of a hefsed, but not a big hefsed. In other words, mal desema, what would you have thought, lehefsed muat nami chashashu? There is a little bit of a hefsed. Imagine they have these huge sheets of glass. So they're going to break when you put them down, but they'll break to big sizes, which are still usable. But there's going to be small, tiny pieces of glass that's going to shatter, which you can't do anything with. That's going to be inevitable when you break glass. So you're going to have some big chunks, which are usable, and some small chunks. So there's going to be a little bit of a loss than had you broken it on your own. So maybe you should be choshesh for that and allowed to place pillows and blankets beneath it. Kamash Shalom, when it comes to a small hefshah like that, that's not enough of a reason to move the pillows for it. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi says here, Ma'u the same, what would you have thought that lehefset mu'at nami chashasha, we should also be concerned with small amounts of a breaking. V'yavi karm v'yanich tachtem, and place the pillows beneath it. D'ho v'adai efshar below hefset mu'at. It's impossible that there won't be some loss of the glass. Shenitzotot nitazin b'shirasin, some of the glass are going to, disperse and break into unusable pieces. Shenimut ruin l'kum. Still, nonetheless, when it's such a small hefsid, we're not that concerned, and we should not have a person move the pillows to place below the glass. Gemara now says, first line down, Gemara quotes a braisa, Tanya. Rabbi Shimon, Yochai Omer, Hayisab Hemto Tuna, Shlif Shatvul. Let's say a person is carrying, or his animal rather, is carrying a bundle of grain. Meniach Rosho Tachte, Umesalko Letzad Acher. A person is able to kind of manipulate the bundle with his head and move it to the other side. Vunofil Me'elav, it's going to fall off on its own. So that's what they do. You could somehow move it in an indirect way to push it off. It's a situation where Rashi is up tevel, so you can't move it directly, but if you move your head and cause it to fall off, that would be a shinui, and that would be allowed. Furthermore, the Braisa says, Chamoro shel Rabbi Gamliel haisatuna devash. So one time the donkey, Rabbi Gamliel, was carrying some type of honey, and what happened was, v'loratza leporka ad motzei Shabbos, and now he didn't want to take it off, the honey, until after Shabbos. So why? What happened was, the Motzei Shabbos Mesa, by the time Shabbos came along and ended, the animal died, the chamor died. So the Gemara says, don't we have a Mefurish Mishnah? And certainly Rabbi Gamliel knew the Mishnah. And Mishnah tells us that notel kalim hanitalim nitalim, that we have items that are not muksa, so then you should certainly take it off. So he just killed this donkey. Why is it so machmer? Dvash is food. We have a klal throughout all of Hilchos Shabbos that there are two items that can ever become muksa. Food can never be muksa, and Sefer Kodesh are never muksa. Svarim are never muksa. So this is dvash, there's honey in the back of the donkey, so why didn't he take it off? It's certainly not muksa. And the Gemara says, kishe hidvish. It's when the honey went bad. When the honey went bad and it got spoiled, so it's no longer roi lachil anymore, and therefore it would be considered muksa. So that's why he couldn't take it off, and he was kind of stuck. So Gemara says, well, if it's hidvish, l'may chazi. Why would he have a hidvish? Why would he have honey that's spoiled? What was the benefit of that, just in general? Why would anyone have a bad honey? Just get rid of it. So Gemara says, apparently, the ksisa legamle, so apparently the different wounds and cuts on the animal, on the camels, that could get, it's some medicinal benefit of a bad honey, apparently it helps the wound, it helps it heal better. So that's why he had it. But in the end of the day, it's still muksa, so since it had a purpose, he was holding on to it, but he couldn't move it because it was muksa, and in the end of the day, the animal had to die.
So honey never spoiled.
Nope, we have many places that it does. I know they say it doesn't, but it does. The Gemara says it does. So the Gemara then says, V'yatir chavalim v'yiplu sakin. So the Gemara says, so why don't you just undo it? Why didn't you undo it and let it just fall? We said before, if you have muksa items, so take the muksa items off. If you have non-muksa items, you take them off. If you have muksa items, the Gemara said, the Mishnah said, just release the bags, let them fall on the ground. So you should have released the bags and let the honey just fall into the ground in the bags. Why didn't he do that? Why did he leave it on the back of the animal the whole Shabbos? So Gemara says, the situation, mitzari zika. What's mitzari ziki? So Rashi explained, it's a situation where the bag was tied to the animal's back, but the only way to release it was you had to lean onto the animal to undo it. It was on top, and you couldn't reach the top of the donkey, so you had to lean, press your body onto it. And there's an issur to ever lean on an animal on Shabbos to use the animal, so therefore it would be usur to do so. I'm just looking for Rashi for a second here. Rashi says here, Hold on one second here. If you see here, right? So Rashi says, Rashi didn't explain that. I thought he did explain this. But either way, the situation where you have to lean on the animal in order to release the bag from it. So then the Gemara says that, hold on one second, where I go here. This was where the bags were open, they're going to break, and then you lose the honey. If you let it go, it's going to release it, the bags will break, and then you lose all the honey. So Gemara then says, okay, so why don't you viyavi karm v'kissos v'yaniach tachtem, put blankets and pillows below, this way it will break the fall and the jar and jugs of honey won't break. So Gemara says, metanfit, because then the honey is going to fall into the pillows, it's going to ruin the pillows. Ukum mevatle klimei achano, then you won't be able to use it on Shabbos, it's mevatle klimei achano. So then the Gemara says, v'ha ika tzar b'lechaim, isn't there going to be tzar b'lechaim when it comes to leaving it on the animal the whole Shabbos, and you end up killing the animal, so doesn't tzar b'lechaim, which is deraisa, isn't that docha, the iser muksa? And the Gemara says, k'savar tzar b'lechaim midirabanan. This machlokis in general, whether tzar b'lechaim is deraisa midirabanan. Apparently Rabbi Gamliel felt that tzar b'lechaim is only midirabanan, and therefore it doesn't override the iser midirabanan of muksa. So the Gemara then says, abaye, Ashkecha le l'rabba, become a shafshef le l'brei agaba dechama. Abaye found once that the rabba was busy letting his son, the animal, the donkey, rub near his son, his child, play with his son a little bit, because it was a fun for the child. So Amr le, so he says to him, come a shamish mar mibali chayim. So he says, Abaye says to Rabba, how are you allowed to do this? You're not allowed to ride on an animal on Shabbos, and you can't use an animal Shabbos, and to play with an animal Shabbos, to rub up against the animal Shabbos, that's a violation of a tashmishi of a Baal Chayim. So Amalei, so he says back to him, studim hein. It's on the side of the animal is not a problem. On top of the animal, riding the animal is fine, but using the side, stadi behema is allowed. Which studim lo gozer be rabban, they were not gozer on the side of the animal, because as Rashi explains, it's ein derech tashmisha. That's not the normal way of use. They only asked for the normal way of use, but studim not. If you look at Rashi, first wide line down, at the end of the line, Rashi said, studim she'enu markivolav. You're not riding on the animal. Ela mishav shishol shel tzadi gavo. You're kind of rubbing against the side of the animal. Ve'ein derech tashmisha, and therefore rabbanim lo gozibo. So Gemara says, Minot Tamer, how do we know that the din is that only on top of the animal is aser, but stadim is mutter? So Gemara says, the Tana, the Mishnah says, Matir chavalim masakim noflim, so you untie the ropes and let the bags fall. My love is not talking about bechever, gevalki, as mentioned before. These are when the bags are on the side of the animal, whereby you have to go next to the animal and use the side of the animal to undo the bags. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, my love, bechever, gevalki, to have late stadim. Gavki Ashkenaz, I'm not sure what that means exactly, but Chaver Gavki Shtai Mechuboris Yachab Ritzuros. You have the two bags on each side of the camel or the donkey tied by a strap. Umarkivin al Chamer Zumikan Zumikan. It hangs over the back of the donkey. The Tarach Lasalko Yachad. You have to kind of release it together. Ulekarv Eitzal Chamer. Now the only way to release both bags is coming close to the donkey. Umeshav Sheish Atman. Now you're leaning against the side of the donkey in order to release it. Vinishan Gufo Betide Chamer. You're pressing against the side of the animal, and that's allowed. So we see from this mission, you're allowed to lean against the animal, so only on top of the animal is aser, but the side of the animal is actually mutter. So we see that study behema is mutter. So Gemara says, again, my la bechaver gavkli, the havilate studin, v'studin lo gazubi rabbanim. And what says, lo bechaver aglavkli, de lo havit studin, or inami belichti. These are two different situations whereby the bags are hanging where you don't have to lean on the animal. Either way, it's just like a small little release button, or there's like a long stick you could pull out without having to come close to the animal. Either way, the Gemara had created two different scenarios whereby you can still release the bags from the chamor without having to touch the chamor. So it's not a raya that study behema is actually mutter on Shabbos. Marlin asks a question from Hilchos Sukkah now of using a behemoth and study behemoth on Shabbos. It says, Esive, Shtaim bidei Adam v'achas be'ilan. If you have two walls that were man-made, and one was using the tree as part of the third wall. So the din is, Vein olin ala b'yamtif. Although it's mutter to use as a sukkah, you could use a tree as a sukkah, but to go on yamtif, to use the sukkah itself on yamtif, that would be also to do so on Shabbos. My love, why? Why is it also to do this on Shabbos? My love, dechok bei be'ilan, tavlet studin. Is it not a situation where, not that you're using the actual tree, but you're using the side of the tree. We have a wall that's wedged into the tree, so you're just utilizing the side of the tree, but not actually using the tree itself, and yet we still see that's also to do so. If you just look at Rashi, to explain this, Rashi says, my lav dechok bei be'ilan, around 10 lines up, the osiv bei kanim shodafanos b'nikavim, you stick some poles of the walls into the holes of the tree, shenek of harbe begufa shelilam, into the side of the tree, besichach shuv al osan defanos. Now you place chach on top of the walls. Mikamakam ein kan tashmish ela betide ilam. All you're using is using the tree to hold up the wall. But the tree itself isn't a wall, but the wall is leaning against the tree. So it's stade ilam. And the Gemara says, such a sukkah, it's muksa on Shabbos. So it's stade, just like stade bal chayim, it's stade ilam. We're comparing the two cases here. Just like you can't use the side of the tree, you should be able to use the side of an animal. So the Gemara says, no. Lo, dekfiya le'ilan v'anasichach alavei. Dekamashah m'mashmesh be'ilam. We're talking about where you're using the tree not to hold up the wall, but the tree itself is the wall. And the tree is the wall, and the tree is holding up the schach, and therefore it's the gufo shel ilam. Not study ilam, but gufo shel ilam. And that's why you can't use this on yantiv, because it's muksa to use a tree on Shabbos. And just so you can't use an animal on Shabbos, you can't use a tree on Shabbos. So Gemara says, ihachi, that's the case, that we're talking about where the tree itself is the wall, then ema sefer. The sefer says, if you have shalosh bidei adam, three walls are made, the adam man-made, and achas bilan, and one was the tree itself as the fourth wall. Kshera, that's a good sukkah. You have four walls now. Four is better than three even. You have four full walls. V'olun l'b'yantav, and you can even use this on yantav as well. Now, v'i, the kafya l'ilan, if you're using the tree itself as the fourth wall, am I olun b'yantav? You can't use trees on Shabbos. It's a yantav. It's a violation. Elamai must be tzadin. It must be that we're talking about where you're using the side of the tree. And that's why it's aser, because even the tzadim are aser. So Gemara says, wait a second, if we're talking about tzadim or aser, So am I olin labyamtiv? If we're saying now we're going back to the situation that we're not using the actual trees, but we're actually using the stud and the side of the trees to hold up the wall, so then if that's the case, so then you shouldn't be able to use it on yamtiv, whether there's three walls or four walls. There shouldn't be a difference if the trees are being part of the wall or it's holding up the wall. What's the chilik of 3 versus 4? And the Gemara says, no, ella hasam begavza parsechana de'ilan gufay dofen ba'amahu de'shavya. What does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, he explains, Elamai tzad nasurin, it's a long Rashi, Dibur Maschil, he says, Gavza parsechna ilan, shanafim harbe yotim it tzadin, umispashin lakan lakan. You have a tree with many, many branches and leaves going out. V'shavina dofen ba'ama, l'sukka, you make it as a dofen ba'ama, just a wall. V'lo samech schach alem. We're not talking about it's holding up the schach. I've got three good walls, the schach's leaning on the three walls. The fourth wall, which I don't even need, is the tree. The tree just served as a dofen ba'ama, but it's not supporting the schach. The schach doesn't have to go over the walls. It's not going on top of the tree. So you're not really using the wall to help your schach. It just encloses your sukkah. And that's the situation that we're describing here. And therefore, it would be mutter to be using on Shabbos, because you're not really, by using schach, you're not actually using the tree. You're just using, there happens to be a fourth enclosure here. And the Gemara brings a raya, dekanami dekatani, it says in the Mishnah, ze'akla, this is the rule. Kol she'ila shenital ha'ilan, any case where if you were to take away the tree, v'yichol lamod, that the schach would stand on its own, olunla, you're allowed to go b'yamtiv shmamina, meaning that if the wall of the tree is not serving a primary function, it's not essential, that if you were to just knock off the tree, the schach and everything else would still stand, you're allowed to go in on Shabbos. That means you're not using the tree. But if it's a situation where if you knock down the tree, the schach will fall, that means you are utilizing the tree on Shabbos to make a kasher sukkah, then you can't go on it on Shabbos. So that's where the Gemara concludes from all of this. So in the end of the day, it's unclear how to read the maskana of this Gemara, but it's going back and forth whether or not tzdade of Ilan or Aser, or only the Ilan itself is Aser. So Gemara says, wait a second, after all this, maybe this is really machlokas tanayim about tzdade Ilan or not. What's a machlokas tanayim? Lema, let's suggest it's a katanayi. It's a machlokas tanayim. It says, ein olin b'yamtif, and Rabbi Shimon Elazar Meir, Mishum Rabbi Meir, olin lo b'yamtif. When it comes to a sukkah made of a tree, machlokas whether you could climb this on Shabbos or yamtif or not. So the Gemara says, my love, b'hakam mithlagi, are they not arguing about this very nekuda? That mar saver tzdadin asurin, u mar saver mutarin, that one opinion holds that according to the first opinion that the Tanakhama says you can't go on yantif, holds because tzdadin asurin, to use even the side of the tree would be asur and Shabbos, and according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, he holds it's mutter to use tzdadin ila. Gemara says, amar bai says no. Lo. Duchuli alma tzdadin asurin, everybody agrees that tzdadin is asur. You can't use this side of the tree at all. You can't lean on a tree, that's asr. V'hacha b'tzadet tzadin. Here is a side of the side, a secondary use. What does it mean, tzadet tzadin? So it means, let's say you have, a great example would be a hammock. So a hammock's tied to a tree, or even a swing is tied to a tree itself. That's called tzad ilan. You're not using the tree itself. The tree itself is me leaning on a tree. Using it, but me having a swing on the tree, that's dade, ilan, that's usr, to have a swing or a hammock directly onto the tree. But if you have, let's say, a nail or a peg off the tree, and then the hammock or swing is on that peg, that's called studden, that would be permitted on Shabbos. So what Rabbi says is, everybody agrees, chuliyama, studden asurin, to use the side of the tree itself, that's usr. But halcha, but tzadit studden kamifki. This machlok is whether you use the side of the side, the nail that's hanging on the tree. Kamifki, my suffer, the first opinion holds that tzadit studden is a surin, but the other opinion holds my suffer, and then so we paskin that tzadit studden mutar would be permitted. And that's how we conclude. Okay, so we will stop here, and Mirza Hashem, we will continue together on Sunday. Sunday we have the scene, everyone's invited. It starts, we'll have, first of all, in terms of shir time, if that's okay, can we do